matter of priority, to say that if you have a fish, and what, you know, what should be the highest and best use for the fish? My argument's going to have to be that it should be for somebody to eat it to keep alive.
Right.
But if the guy's going to take the roe out of the fish and go trade it for booze, then he begins to lose me right away. Because then if you do that, then you're not, you know, you're kind of subverting. And that's where I have a problem with the barter bit. I don't know whether...
Well, I'll be very honest.
I don't know how it can be handled, but I tell you frankly, that's one that bothers me.
My answer, Mr. Chairman, is that when you try to define that thing only to native use, you know, to traditional cultural native use, then those that oppose it, the Alaska Federation of Natives has never espoused a resource use at the subsistence level for natives only. We have been accused and we have testified in public, federally, and now at the state level. We agree the best use of that resource is for somebody to eat. And we don't care who that somebody is. When we get to tight definitions, then you define it only, frankly, in an area that other people call racial. And the guy that's trading the booze for the eggs might argue with you. I can't, I won't. But it's another trap of defining very tight that I see. And it's from experience, Mr. Chairman. Anytime the issue of race can be put into these types of arguments, it's done to our disadvantage. You know, it's not something that I'm imagining. But it's a problem that comes up every time. And it's not our position that this is a racial issue. This is a statewide issue that needs some work.
Well, doesn't the racial issue, doesn't that work to your, in this day and age, doesn't that work to your disadvantage when everybody's supposedly or out in the open, at least bending over backwards to stay out of the racism bit? It's better that it shouldn't be done, as far as it just so happens that a majority of the people who are interested in the subsistence question can be identified by race. Isn't that what it amounts to?
That's true. It's an accident of geography and enforcement, and not a matter of Aleuts, Eskimos, Indians, or anything.
And because personally, the way I view it, again, getting back to this. I shouldn't even be commenting on it, but if a person, without regard to race, if a person would prefer to take the fish out of the stream, eat it, rather than taking the fish out, selling him to somebody, getting some money, going to the store, buying something that's produced in Oshkosh, seems to me that common sense says that it's better to do it. Shortest route. Anybody that would prefer to go that route with me, with regardless of race, has to have nothing to do with it. I think that would be the highest issue.
I do.
And but if there are people by training, background, tradition, are more apt to go sell the fish and go buy the can of something or other. If you start, you know, if we. That's where I see the barter problem getting into it. And I don't know, again, I don't know what the language should be, but I think it's an important one because I think it can draw more fire for the approach you're trying to take on subsistence than almost anything else.
Because probably.
Some guy's going to say, why in the hell should these people be allowed to go take out the eggs and sell them to the ship in Japan and blah, 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 and do it on a subsistence argument? And again, I don't know what the language should be, but I think that's one that should be looked at very, very carefully. Questions from the committee for Mr. Lang? If there are no further questions,
Chairman,
Mr. Guy.
I would like to make a comment, read the fishery rule. I recently received the telegram from our regional association, ABCP, Association of Village Council President, and apparently two other ABCP and two other bodies similar to Nunam Tusti or Protector of Land, apparently have felt that the sale of subsistence fish roe had been abused, and they're advocating that there be that the state does not allow any more of that, and that was done in the interest of conservation and preservation of the various species in the region.
I would, as an example, what kind of colors my feelings on this, I remember in the, down in my district on the hearing aid, hearing bill. There was a time in areas down there where there was lots of people, and this happened in this particular case, native people, used to go gather that, do the whole bit, and no problem. But they commercialized it.
Right.
Now everybody and his brother, whether it's a native or white or didn't make a difference what his color, when they started the commercial bit, everybody got into the act. And now there's no damn herring,
right.
No herring loaves.
Well.
For a short time, they started out, they were letting them harvest for hours, and then it was down just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The season opened, and now it's, nothing.
Well,
and
that's
the
part,
kind of thing.
That's part of the evolution of the use of resources that never gets addressed. 20 years ago, or 10 years ago even, not 10, 15 years for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, only natives ate herring roe. Only natives ate salmon eggs. Then all of a sudden a market developed in the East, in Japan and Korea and those places, where that stuff is worth now more than the fish itself. That therein lies some of the problem. But until it got commercialized, if subsistence hunters are to be damned for anything, it's probably their lack of organization. 4 years ago, the federal government said to the state of Alaska, we're putting sea mammals, we're putting polar bear, we're putting a bunch of things on an endangered list, and we're taking the management away from them. They only allowed subsistence hunting and fishing on those things. They're back now off the endangered list in 4 years. Now, we don't get credit for that kind of stuff. We get damned for pyramid. So that what we'd like to do is put some semblance of order into this thing. So we're damned where we need to be damned. So that there is an order to that kind of thing. And the bill addresses that. I like the bill. I like anything that addresses a problem in a forthright manner, even though it's not perfect. There is no perfection in this life, anyhow. And if this bill doesn't work, fine, let's amend it next year when we find out what's not working. To simply ignore it because the Fish and Game thinks it might be a thorn in their side is a problem of theirs, not this legislature.
Mr. Green.
Yeah, I agree. I think what we ought to be doing is finding a way resolve the barter question, but not hang up on it, because it's better to have it out there and trying it than not to have it at all and be hung up indefinitely. Cause I don't know if I'll ever resolve perfectly to my satisfaction what it means, but I would like to have more of the understanding of the issue so that I feel comfortable with it, that's all.
I'm sure that we'll be comfortable with what you come up with. What we've done is we're not entirely comfortable with what the federal government came up with. But it's the best shot we can get out of the legislative process. And we'll buy it. And certainly we'll do that with what you come up with. And more than likely we'll abide by it. I'm not sure. But
all right. further questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next witness would be Representative Anderson. No?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's very little that that I can say that hasn't already been touched on. I think just about the whole intent and the purpose of the legislation has been discussed either by the Department of Game, Fish and Game, or addressed by Roger. And I think the only thing that I can really do at this point in time is to answer any questions you may have on specific portions of the bill. I probably understand that my heart's beating pretty hard right now because this is a culmination of a lot of months of work and hours, and we know it isn't perfect. But we hope you will give it good consideration. So I'd like to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah. I don't have that definition in the Senate bill, I guess 506, but did you take a look at that definition as opposed to your definition? What were some of the reasons?
I don't have Senate bill 506.
I don't either. I just heard it described.
Dave, but is it all right if I allow Dave to come up?
Yeah.
Dave is administrative subsistence.
Yeah, I don't have the definition of 506 in front of me. I've spent a lot of time looking at it. And the committee looked at it very carefully. In fact, spent some meetings on it. But the thing was decided was that was too restrictive because, like in the case of a person who's old and can't take food for himself, but maybe had a net that he could loan somebody for the summer, then that's the sort of trade you wanted to allow. The definition 506 wouldn't allow that. Or a situation where a person moves into a new village, not successful at hunting. When he first gets there, he needs to have something to eat. Therefore, maybe he'll loan some of his equipment to somebody else in return. That's valuable consideration other than money that we were thinking about. And I think that a lot of the problems that people are seeing with this barter section really are problems. I think at the very beginning of section 16 on page 7, it says, this chapter does not prevent the traditional barter. Fishing game. I think anybody that was trading king salmon for a 185, you know, the court would obviously see that wasn't traditional barter. On the same page down in line 26, it also includes in subsistence, the definition of subsistence uses, it includes only customary trade barter or sharing. And I think these sorts of abuses that people are worried about aren't customary. And of course, you know, they're according to the definition on page 8, there would be no selling for money of any subsistence product, valuable consideration other than money. The Board of Game and the Board of Fisheries have the power to restrict barter other than traditional barter. They have the power to deal with
uses on a regional level. Let me ask you a question on the tradition bit. Again, and since I used it as a starter, I'll stay with it. I don't like to see the guy trading it for booze, right? Are you trying to tell me that trading it for firewater isn't traditional?
Is where you come from.
Well, I don't know. this kind of reminds me of being in a court system there when you're trying to be trapped. Deny or admit anything.
No, the point is,
I plead the fifth.
How about court? No, wouldn't the this is the problem that I have, and you know, okay, so I can see I see problems with the barter bit. Almost any approach you take, you say it's traditional, but you know, I'm getting back to my question, even though it was a bit facetious, maybe it's traditional in some areas, you know, would it be?
Well, it's certainly not the intent of this committee.
I know it is. I know what you're intending to do, but
that kind of a position. And the only thing that I can state is that rather than get into the very fixed details of trying to define that, I think we'd run into some problems. But if you read the entire subsection E on page 7, I think it gives the Department of Fish and Game the control that if this kind of situation does develop, where there is this kind of activity, they can't prohibit that. And rather than, you know, say right in the law saying you cannot trade booze, any your game or your fish for booze, then you begin to enter into some other portion of law. And one thing we tried to do very carefully, draft very carefully, is to stay on the very narrow constitutional line. And we had many attorneys examine this, different attorneys re-examine this, and we threw out a lot of language that we felt really fit the situation, but we felt could not pass the test of the legislative scrutiny or the judicial scrutiny once it got past the legislature if it were to pass. So I don't know how to address your concern, and other than to try to build into the system adequate safeguards so that if there is abuse, that abuse will be corrected by the Department of Fish and Game, and there's absolute authority granted. So that's the best that I can do, and at this point in time, unless someone has a better approach, I don't know what else to suggest to this committee.
That's my problem. If I thought I had a better approach to the language, I could lay it out and say, what do you think of this? But I don't have it. That's where I stand.
Mr. Chairman, I think my staff and other members of the committee share your concern as well. This is the best that we came up with, and really, in terms of time, this is, only 10 months work, and we intend to do more work on this area and refine it to the point where people can feel a little bit more comfortable with it. And we do need the additional time on it. I'd like to go back to another concern that you had that received considerable attention, and that was the selection of the director of the Division of Subsistence. And I, of course, share that concern. It was my feeling as chairman that the selection of that individual should be contained or to continue under the normal process, that the commissioner should be the one who should select that individual. But on the teleconference that we had, 4 days of teleconferencing, most of the testimony that came from people out in Nome and Bethel and Fairbanks and Anchorage and Ketchikan, the people that testified, I think it was 69% of those people that testified, stated that they wanted the governor to make the selection, and the reason given was that they didn't have any trust whatsoever in the commissioner being able to select a person that would follow up with the intent of the law. And that was their hang-up, and our commitment to the public when we took this task on to trying to address the issue of subsistence was that we were going to reflect what people wanted us to do. And this is a direct reflection of testimony. It is not my individual political wisdom that's being reflected here. It's what people have told us as a committee to do, and that's what you've got before you. Politically, I think that the safest thing to do to avoid any confrontation with the other members of legislature and the administration is to change that, and I have no objection to it, and I think it ought to be changed without any hesitation.
I would agree with you on that. It's not hard for me to understand why the public would go the route, because that's the lack of faith in, there have been some of that, it's possible that some of that resentment and distrust built up and accumulated before, we had a present commissioner, as some of these takes a little time. But it seems to me that there's a real danger, of a real nose-to-nose hassle in the future if we don't control it.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly agree with your observation that we haven't given this commissioner enough time to see how he is going to perform, and it's quite possible that a lot of the things that we find wrong with the department or have found wrong with it in the past are going to be corrected. And I see some changes now that I honestly didn't expect to happen under his administration, and certainly they are for the best interests of people in the state of Alaska, and some of the reorganization and some of the people that are going to be leaving the department now, I think, are certainly a plus on his side, on his intent to really reflect what people are saying to him. So I see some positive things there, and I certainly would give him the benefit of the doubt concerning his longevity in the job, that we give him the opportunity to make his decision on who we want in this division. guess one other thing too is that.
No, it's just a second. Mr. Greenman, did you have a comment on that?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say is that, to the very best of our knowledge, Mr. Chairman, the law that you have before you, the proposal you have before you, reflects to the greatest degree all of the traditional and customs and how people react or relate to fish and game resources in the state of Alaska. These are, all it is it articulates and puts legislative framework around what we do with fish and game resources today. That's all it does. And it gives to the administration, which has been seeking direction and guidance from the legislature. In public statements, he has continuously stated that the legislature must give him direction in order to deal adequately with the subsistence issue. And I think we have done that in committee substitute for 960.
Yeah, on the that issue of edibility, do we accomplish the same thing by saying the regulations shall be devised in such a manner that you'll promote the taking of game during the time in which they're most edible?
Mr. Chair,
if I understood better why you made it no regulation, I didn't exactly trust the department. I don't know where they're coming from on their position, but at least from your point of view, is the same thing accomplished by describing it in that manner?
I believe it arrives at the same end. If you were to change the language, I don't think that it would have any different effect. I think that it accomplishes a purpose. In other words, in an area where it is the consensus of that particular area that a particular type of game is not edible during a certain season, then it ought not be allowed to be hunted, unless there's some extenuating circumstance that we don't understand that a biologist may have at his disposal. We just feel very strongly that the testimony we received is, you know, very clear and very definite that if the best time to catch bear is when they first come out of the den. Okay, you don't want to wait around until fall because they're eating fish and the meat is just really lousy. So what you advocate or try to advocate is that when the bear first comes out of the den, that's when you kill them to eat them. So, you know, a lot of things like this make sense. But if you look at the regulations and how the hunting seasons have been developed throughout the state, there's no real consideration for, you know, for these types of for human use and how they relate to the game regulations when they're hunted. There's no correlation. So I think we'd achieve the end of the present language. Yeah. Well, yeah, they would. I think they both arrive at the same end.
That's what, yeah.
Well, Chairman,
just one. I think, of course, it might be what Mr. Anderson said might be true in his area, but where I come from, bear can be edible when it has just come out from its den or in the fall, just when it's eating fish and berries. They're vegetarians and carnivorous at the same time. However, when they have become a rogue, that's when they're not allowed to be eaten. Maybe a smaller person, a person, and you know, definitely has eaten a person, that's when they're not allowed to be eaten. But otherwise, you know, if it's not a rogue,
Mr. Meekin.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, you didn't want to be a cannibal.
Full of.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Further questions of Mr. Anderson? If not, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next witness we have listed here is Russell Block, Rural Cabin. Here.
Mr. Chairman, I don't really have a lot to say on the bill, with the exception that the Rural Cap Board met their quarterly meeting approximately 2 weeks ago, and passed a resolution in support of this bill. It has been, as Mr. Lang and the other witnesses today have said, it has been a high priority of Rural Cap this particular session to back the subsistence issue at the Rural Citizens Participation Conference way back in February. We had endorsed several of the subsistence bills. This 960, of course, came out after that time and after a great deal of additional work had been done on the subject. I have little else to say except to say that I think that the words that Mr. Lang had today were perhaps a very fine example of what I would call subsistence lobbying. He took a subject which perhaps is unpalatable to a number of the members of the committee and made it quite palatable. I take my hat off to the gentleman. I really don't have too much else.
Questions from the committee? Not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bob Lohr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Lohr, L-O-H-R. And I serve as the executive director for the Upper Tanana Development Corporation with offices in Tope and serving low-income residents in seven villages around the Tope region, Upper Tanana region of Alaska, that borders on Canada. And I speak in support of this bill as it's written. I think in our region we're facing a crisis in the fairly near future with respect to fish and game. And that's the gas pipeline construction. There's been a highway through that region for 30 years, which might suggest that people no longer subsist there. And in the pure sense, that's true. There are very few residents of that region that still depend entirely, that are completely excluded from the cash economy. However, there are, I'd venture to say, if not a majority, almost a majority of the residents of that region for whom the income that they get or the direct food value from the fish and game resources is an important part of their life. And if something isn't done within the Department of Fish and Game to give the priority to subsistence use of those resources that they claim it has already, then I think we're going to have serious problems once the gas pipeline is built there in addressing those concerns. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Mr. Rowe.
I just might ask if you, has your opinion changed on this bill as it's, since you've heard this testimony today, as you think the bill is palatable just the way it's written?
I'm sorry, do I think the amendments that have been suggested?
Yes.
I would have no problem with any of the amendments that have been suggested. I think it's a good bill either way. In my opinion, what the bill does, amended or the way written, is to establish the legislative intent to give subsistence the highest priority, and I feel that's crucial.
Further questions? If there are no further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 960? Your name, sir?
Floyd Catpon.
Have a seat.
I testified on previous bills, which look like we're all put together on 960. And I represent the Native Student Organization at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. And we got together on this whole thing and discussed it, and we went as far as to go to the student government, which I did, and they totally endorsed it, and I have a letter from them saying that we will worked for at his end to see the state meet its responsibility in this area. I'm one of the people that testified that I didn't want to see a person at the head of this under the commission, because from past experience. But I'm going to say this one thing. We're not hung up on this. I mean, you know, personally, I like to see it the way the bill is written. But it's a result of what the Board of Fish and Board of Game have done in the past, and the result of the views of Fish and Game. On barter, I live in an urban area. I'm from Eagle River. We in the urban area depend a lot on people from the rural areas to supply us a lot of things which we can't get because of Fish and Game regulations. We a lot of times can't get seal oil or dried fish, or we may have one of the two and we'll make a trade for it. And this is really vital to us in the urban areas. And when the students come in from the rural areas, they bring with them what will keep them for a while, and we'll trade around. And we've always got a good thing going there. Now, on tradition, the state of Alaska has, in its actions, I think, in the actions of the people, have established tradition. And I don't see where there's a great argument, you know. And this is one area I hope doesn't get carried away to where the legislature sees the native people paddling in a kayak in his attempt to catch a seal or something. Because tradition has established other modes. I don't have too much else to say on this subject, but we really like that bill.
Questions from the committee? Commissioner?
Floyd, would the barter thing take care of that situation where you're trading for subsistence game and so forth, that if it included a trade or exchange for other foodstuffs? In other words, in turn for sea oil, you could send up cabbage or fresh vegetables or something in return.
Anything. Traditionally, we go back to that same word, but what we have a habit of doing is finding out what the other person wants, just like what is established anywhere, and we make a trade, you know. A lot of times we have something fresh, you know, some fresh meat or something like that for sea oil, whereas the other person doesn't have. And we'd like to see that continue, because we need it.
Further questions, Mr. Green?
No.
Further questions from the committee? If not, we thank you very much. Anyone else here to testify? All right, if there's no further testimony, I would first foremost like to thank all of you for coming in. At this time, I would like to ask, appoint Mr. Greening as chairman and of the subcommittee and Mr. Schaefer to consider any amendments that they might wish to propose and report back to the full committee with whatever the recommendations might be within sometimes coming week or as soon as you can. You agree with that, Mr. Green?
Yeah, in fact, as soon as possible. And
all right.
If anybody else can come in, I can work on it.
Is there any?
There's only one area that I have any concern, really, and that's coming up with at least an understanding of what exchange. I know there's a couple bills in the Senate that have different definitions.
Mr. Chairman, the game will be at Mr. Greening's and Mr. Schaefer's disposal.
Would you work with them and help them if you can?
Then, Chairman.
Well, I can fill in on it.
Mr. Chairman, one question, I mean, one suggestion I would have is it could be palatable to the committee and possibly the members of the House is to put in language where barter would be permitted, notwithstanding other provisions of the law.
Mr. Guy, I would expect that the committee would make the report back whatever the committee subcommittee feels is their feeling, but I would think that there's two things that you should bear in mind, or at least one thing you should bear in mind, and I would I have a certain amount of concern with the who runs the show, who appoints this guy, how he gets his job, the director, in other words. From a practical standpoint, if the division of fish and game, the commissioner, in other words, has strong objections to that, which I suspect that he does have, and I expect that he would have, I would think that you stand a little more risk of this guy going to prevailing in an argument with the governor that he should veto the bill. And as I listened to the testimony, on this particular one, I had a feeling that the members didn't necessarily have strong enough feelings about it to take that risk. Now that's just a view of mine. You can take it. Consideration, but I would suggest that you give that some, real serious consideration on that one. The benefit of the possibility of the bill surviving, I'm trying to say, I think the committee should take a look at that. The barter thing is a problem. I don't know how you're going to work that out, but again, I think it's one of the areas where you're going to get some resistance if there's doubt in people's mind as just what you're trying to do, and I think you should consider very carefully how much harm you might be doing to the bill by getting too hard on it. Mr. Meader.
Mr. Chairman, I stepped out. You've appointed a subcommittee on this?
Mr. Greening is chairman, and anybody else who wants to work with him, if you'd like to be on it, let's have you. And I ask them to report back to full committee as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, since it is a House bill.
I understand that. Mr. Greening indicated earlier that he didn't think it would take him that long to find the language. So
I was thinking meet Saturday, somebody around, and get something.
Try for Monday.
Yeah. As a matter,
that's just what I was interested in.
As a matter of fact, I asked Mr. Greening if he thought he could come up with a language that would, amendment right off cuff, that would allow us to move it this afternoon. He said he didn't think he could do so. And I can't. I don't have a language. So it might take a little time in the back room to sit on.
Mr. Greening, your subcommittee recommend to make recommendations on 960.
Right, you should have before you propose amendments to committee's head to House Bill 960. There are three of them there. One deals with the appointment of the director of Division of Subsistence Fishing, and changes it from the governor to the commissioner. The second one deals with Section 7C. You recall that provision provided that no regulation could be promulgated which
had a season at a time when the game was not edible. Change that around to, you can see that as asking them to promote, to do regulations that coincide with the time of the year when each species most eligible. The last one comes up with a definition, a little bit tighter definition of what constitutes barter. I might ask, Dave, is that from Title VII, more or less?
No, actually, there wasn't anything on barter in Title VII. I thought there was.
There isn't.
Says barter is permitted under subsistence.
It defines subsistence.
Yeah.
In any case, the subcommittee is ready to recommend that we pass out a finance committee substitute for House Bill 960 with these amendments.
Is that a motion, Mr. Green?
I'll make that a motion. I move that we report out a committee substitute, finance committee substitute for House Bill 960, incorporating these three amendments.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Committee, which consists of Mr. Duncan, Mr. Meekin, Mr. Brown, and Mr. Hayes, were able to report it back to us this morning. I would assume, since none of them were present, that they weren't able to make it. I announced to the committee that if that they were not back for that, why we would go ahead with work on the capital budget. And that's
well, we knew that. Where were we with the capital budget?
Let me think.
This is yours, I can tell.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Duncan, is here. You might wish to ask him on 908.
Jim, you guys got a bill yet?
No, we met last night, but we have one this afternoon.
Okay. Maybe, or maybe we could get that out this afternoon.
Oh.
RCA came in with a new proposal on Jersey, one that no one had ever seen before.
Yeah. Steve, before we get off House Bill 960, the fiscal note, we really didn't examine it, but Representative Anderson was saying that they've attached this clerical or secretary to each biologist, which is probably unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be good cut.
That resolution, did we ever
get
that?
Okay.
Well, maybe we draft a ticket to, we gotta address it because, anyway.
What I'm doing, I'll give this to Grogan.
Just let him, why don't we publish that?
I mean, fine.
Let Grogan work it over. If we get a revised fiscal note, we can do that before the, before the bill comes up. But in any event, we would finally determine that thing in the free conference.
Yeah, it looks a little bit big though, I think.
I think it is.
It would have been smaller at the hole.
But I think one way I treated, I wouldn't want to put more two paths on it because of that thing.
It'd be good to. Just have Grogan look at it now. I don't know when this is on the floor.
Okay.
And then we could just have a short hearing on fiscal note.
Okay.
Unless I overlook something, I think that in capital budget, the transportation is all we have left.
I guess there were open areas.
Well, I meant, the only category that we haven't gone through.
I've got a couple things yet.
I've got one thing that I'd like to do that we messed up on. Ernie, back in education, Ernie had mentioned the $100,000 line cost to Ketchikan and Wrangell and what was it, Petersburg, Ernie?
Yeah.
And
that's equipment.
Yeah. And what I'd like to do is move to add that to that public broadcasting. Would that be?
Well, we had it just dropped out of the cracks when we were writing the committee report. What happened? Same as that $45,000,
yeah.
Which should have been $65,000.
Anyway, we can probably move it into the operating budget,
yeah.
But I want to put it in this capital budget anyhow. So we say it's in our capital budget and move it into that. It's a combination, really, of operating and
what it
capital.
Does is to take the public radio, will have the equipment and the line time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not uptight about it. It all depends on how that telecommunications bill goes. I don't know. I'd like to kind of be here, but probably won't be here this afternoon. I'd like to see what's going on.
Well, what was it? It was Ketchikan, Wrangell, and what? We've got it on my desk.
Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to move that figure then.
What page are we on in the book?
We better get.
What page are we on, Ernie?
It'd be on.
It's in the education.
It's in the education capital budget.
Yeah.
Let me get hold of it. See if they start. Has Hogan come back yet? Is he still there?
Transportation. There's an overwhelming majority of the capital budget in transportation is tied up in one particular bond bill. House Bill 711 amounts to about roughly $60 million. And I'm just wondering what kind of a scenario you had here for the bond proposal.
Take them up last.
Take them a blast, because when you take the, go through the book, the yellow book on capital improvements for transportation, you find that, as I said, an overwhelming majority of it is all tied up in that one bill. That's $28 million for matching funds for federal highways and things of that sort. But I just wanted to ask that question.
Well, frankly, the reason I want to take it up last is if we take it up first, the Senate's just going to go home. They ain't going to do anything.
I have no quarrel with the tactics, Mr. Chairman. I just wonder what they were.
This subcommittee that worked on that education funding bill, do you intend for us to look at the bond bills too?
I just wanted a recommended policy on how we should pursue the rural bond, school bond, or the school bond issues. Got so it isn't rural.
Well, there's two different ones. There's one that's around $45 million. There's another one around $195 million.
Well, what I'd like to do is just have a recommendation as to the policies that we ought to adopt. In other words, rather than come in here and grab whatever anybody wants to grab, whether it's in a school district or whether it's in a borough or not, like we did 2 years ago, I think we ought to make up our minds what we're going to do about that, whether we're going to exclude all the schools that are within boroughs and school districts, or whether we're going to bring in some of them that can't afford to pay for their own capital improvements or what. And that's got to hook up with that bill that you're bringing back in here. That's what you're saying.
Look, Mr. Chairman, my feeling is that for those places that are not able to afford the facilities, we are going to keep them in.
Well, that may be,
that's my feeling.
That may be correct. That's what I'm saying, though, that the committee, I'd like for the committee to come back and give us some recommendation.
Well, Clark can add to what I have to say, but I think generally, isn't it, Clark, that's what we've tried to do in 680 is to develop a formula that and it's damn complex, that those districts that have a tax base their ability to get state aid is related to the tax base, and in some cases the tax base could even be more adequate, you know, to relieve the state of some part of the costs. Am I right, Clark?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Well,
and of course I agree with that. In fact, I think what we're coming up is pretty generous, but we still have the same damn thing.
We could have passed 89 like it was last year. That's the best bill. And Sam Cox does one hell of a job on that.
Yeah.
But it all got tore to hell in free conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There ought to be, I don't know, I guess we haven't got time to do it in the session, but something ought to be done equitable. I would have been willing to go right back to what the governor funded in this bill. We'd have had to eat some crow, but we could have at least got closer to that.
Well, Ernie, when do you think that people, in other words, are you guys ready now with all of that?
We've got a bill written, and I've talked to the committee members, and I'm in agreement with them, too. We've got a bill, and we'll be in free conference, but I mentioned that you were pretty early this morning that if Mike and Sam could come up here and take care of the bill, and if we're stuck in free conference.
Okay. We will be.
I can bring that. I'm sure. I can see Mike just before the session. I'm sure we have the bill written up. We can bring it up. You just put the number on your bills and come up to the committee. We'll have it.
All right. What's the number?
680, isn't it, Clark?
681.
681.
Okay.
Here's Jim, did you say you thought 906 would be okay this afternoon or tomorrow?
Depending on how much work they can get done, I'm asking them to do a new fiscal analysis. I think we'll be ready to have this.
Well, let's announce it anyway.
908. 908. Depending on what the governor's office comes up with.
681 on the
deep. What do you got?
Yeah, we got a schedule for here, right?
Can we schedule 681 either this afternoon or tomorrow morning?
691, please.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to announce it this afternoon.
Should we, on the bond bills, there's that one authorization on the, on that new, that bond proposal on the torture facility has an authorization and a bond issue.
Yeah, you want to push it?
I'd like to push the authorization bill out.
All right, what's the number?
780.
780.
781. 81's the, 81's the authorization.
Yeah, 781's the authorization.
Okay, while we're on the record, Bob Irwin, the guy that was on the former Supreme Court Justice in Anchorage, wrote about, the necessity for a bill, and I'll just read you what it is, because I think it's self-explanatory. Section 1, AS 1850, is amended by adding a new subsection to read, E. The department, that's Health and Social Services, may by regulation provide for the release of information to authorize representatives of organizations or foundations that counsel the next of kin of victims of identified illnesses, diseases, or conditions. What I'd like to do is to get the permission of the body to introduce this bill. He can send it to Health and Social Services. So I'd move the SNO's consent for that. There's no objection. It will be introduced under the finance committee. It'll go back to Hess. I don't think it'll come to us. Okay. Mark, we got to get together on the university thing, too.
Yeah.
Why don't we just have Gary draft something, somebody draft a bill for introduction?
Well, we've got 891, is what we've got.
Yeah, we should move that out, but I was thinking in terms of the, collective bargaining about.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we ought to do that, for sure.
I think it was the whole weekend.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, are you talking about bills you're going to bring up?
Do what?
Bills that we should bring up. Are we going to have anything with that House Joint Resolution 77?
Tell you where they are.
Authorization for the Alaska Power to participate in the project at Healy. That's a resolution. Going to bring that up?
Yeah. HGR 77?
Yeah.
Does it cost anything?
No, it's just that authorization on the power project at Healy.
Let me see it.
Authorizing the Alaska Power Authority to participate in construction of the coal-fired electric generation project.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay.
It just allows the authority to be involved there.
Okay. All right, they've gone all over that and approved it. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Why don't we do it right now, and I'll announce it on the floor, just in case anybody has any objections.
They don't have to send it later on in the bill.
What's the number again, Red?
77.
It's House Joint Resolution 77.
Okay, she's getting the folder, Red.
Okay. Well, there was another one that I asked that we bring to the finance committee, and I don't see it in my folder. And that was on asking federal government to kick in some money to restore the highways. It doesn't cost us a damn thing, just move it to Washington. I don't know why it's not.
I'm glad to move anything. It doesn't cost anything out of the committee.
Well, it doesn't cost anything out of our treasury.
I'd like to make a motion to move everything out if it costs any money.
691, doesn't cost any money?
Oh, it costs something. Well, I mean, as far as our treasury.
it was just almost worded like, yeah, it should be in my folder, but it's not. Now I'll have to run it down again.
Okay. Okay, on House, HJR 77, does people know what the thing is? It's just an authorization of the power authority to go into this coal-fired...
Fire it out.
All right. I'd move and ask unanimous consent we report out HJR 77.
I got one down in the program fund committee that I can't move, but I'll
What's the number of it?
Keep that in my notes. Back
all right.
In.
It's amazing.
Order is secondary.
A rare and unusual treatment.
It's amazing.
Okay. The bill will be held in committee until tomorrow, but we'll get it out down the rules tomorrow, or rather the resolution will, because I want to announce it. I don't know
that's fine.
If people got objections or something like that, give them a chance to do it.
I don't know what the hell happened to
that. Transportation. I got one problem here that I guess has got to be addressed somehow, and that's OC's thing, Loop Road or whatever it is.
Mr. Chairman, could I, before you do that, I going through. Going through the capital budget here on transportation, which really no surprise to me, but the Senate agreed with, and I'll go back a little far on that, in the House budget, we agreed with the governor's figures all the way through. The Senate agreed with the governor's figures and the figures in the House bill all the way through, with one exception, and that's an addition, a helicopter transportation study of $500,000. If there's no objection, I would move and ask unanimous consent that on those figures for the Senate and that the House agree with insert the same figures that the Senate and the governor has on all figures where they agree.
All right.
What number is that? Or?
Okay.
So that would be page 34.
Okay. Mr. Swanson?
Yeah, I'll wait till he's finished.
Okay. Okay, the no, motion was to accept all the figures that the governor and the Senate together had
on transportation.
On transportation.
I have two requests in this.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get this one. The objection to the motion.
Sorry.
Okay, if there's no objection, the motion carries.
Let me ask a question. Is that 2 million and a quarter? For a helicopter?
No, it's not 500,000.
Oh, I got the wrong line.
Projects. One is, you may have some correspondence on this, on the Dempsey Bridge, and I've been battling this thing for 4 years, and the Department of Highways came up with a figure of $50,000 to restore the Dempsey Bridges on the Tote Cutoff. And I have all the backup here for that, and the letter from the Department of Highways, and they'd like to do it in-house. It's a bridge that's on the Tote Cutoff, and it's where we at one time realigned the highway, and it was a bridge back to
about 10 or 12 families in the piling in a high water, not the piling on, they've never done anything. The bridge is down in a V shape, and the people are using it, and the state's never taken it out or never done anything with it, and the money is to, they have to take the decking off the bridge, pick it back up, and put piling in it and set it back down again. They'd like to do it, they figure they could do it in-house and...
50, is that in the interior region, right?
Yes. It's under the Fairbanks office, that's 50,000.
Is there objection to the addition of that 50,000?
That's for the Dempsey Bridge.
Okay.
And the tow cut.
If there's no objection, that'll be adopted. What's, what...
Now, the second one was for Valdez, and going back into history, and this is connection with railroad and reconnaissance and studies, and they want to do a preliminary study on that railroad that they did up out of Keystone Canyon and bring all of that information together for a connection to the Alaska Railroad System someday down in the future.
Study.
Damn, we're study to death.
It's hard for me to say that, but I don't have any other way to, I don't have any other way to say that, factly, it would be, I would ask it to be done between the Department of Highways in Valdez and with, in conjunction with the city. The request came from the city of Valdez to bring all the facts and figures and gather all of the information and everything that they have and do a on the spot survey, I'll call it that, of freight tonnage and everything moving in out of the port of Valdez.
How about a possibilities assessment?
Okay.
How much?
Yeah. 25,000.
Valdez can't spring 25, like I say.
Well,
they
yeah.
Richest community in the state.
I would move and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Chairman. I have had for some time a request from the Mr. Kaufman Rules Chairman for, and I'll read you the request. It says the paving and improvement of Pioneer Drive along the Parks Highway in Peters Creek area was funded by legislature 1978 budget at the amount of $200,000. However, the governor vetoed $100,000. Last construction season, $71,000 was spent on phase one of the project. Official Department of Transportation Public Facilities have stated that $160,000 plus the $29,000 remaining from the FY78 would be adequate to complete the project as originally intended. Therefore, I request Pioneer Drive phase two be funded in the amount of $160,000. I would so move.
Freeman, do you know whether the Senate put in $200,000 for something called Glen Highways Peters Creek Road in here? Is that the same project?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe we better put our own in. All right.
Find out.
Is there objection to...
I think it's the same road because I got a letter on it, $200,000.
Yeah.
It must be the same project.
Parks Highway. We'll call it Parks.
I think it's 110 though.
Actually, Parks Highway doesn't start there. The Parks Highway really starts at
Wasilla.
Not even Wasilla. It's where it starts off at Palmer, a past Palmer. So anyway,
their numbers are.
Mr. Chairman, this one says Pioneer Drive along the Parks Highway.
Okay.
Where is it?
Pioneer Drive along the Parks Highway in the Peters Creek area.
Oh, that's clear up by.
It's up by.
Now that's
okay.
Where.
That's a different name.
That's
Delkeith.
That's nowhere near. That's in Curtulus District.
160?
160.
Okay, is there objection to 160 for that first?
Oh, I know what that is. Pioneer Road, that's
the appropriation
for the
ski lodge. Tocosina.
But
how much is it?
160, but Sam said it was in his district, so whatever.
Well, that's
what Sam's talking
Petersville
about.
Peterville Road is not in his district.
Peterville Road is. Takes off from the right to the mining district. That's where they're talking about
that
ski resort.
Mr. Lincoln.
Now, this is what Sam's talking about is that road that's in, it goes by the Glen Parks Highway in his district right there in Peters Creek. And if it was completed, the school bus could go along it all the way. And now it can't. They got to go a real long way around. They go in it, then they got to back out and go out on the highway and back around.
Not Petersville Road.
No. were they gonna spend this other $29,000?
That's what, according to what Sam told me, they were going to use the other $29,000 that was left over from the first phase.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple more. Time comes, it's time.
The time is there.
Some time ago, Mr. Osi asked me, and I have a letter here that, Squintna, S-K-W-E-N-T-N-A, I guess that's where you pronounce it, Squintna Airstrip, and it's, really important airstrip, for maintenance, they want $15,000 for the state division aviation.
That's the nice thing he said about the paper.
Well.
What is the?
Well, he had some nice things to say about me before that.
Come on, Charlie.
That's an FAA strip, isn't it?
Yes.
Why don't they fix their own?
As you're aware, the Federal Aviation Administration has ceased maintenance on these on air.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mr. Chairman, I would move, the $15,000.
Sorry, is there, that would be in which region, central region, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Yeah, but.
All right, is objection to the $15,000 for Squintna Airstrip? There is objection.
No, I haven't got.
I don't think you heard that.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear. Did I hear an objection? No, I guess I didn't.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more. This one is, not really, it's a matter of shifting priorities. The, Mr. Holden was in and explained to us that in the highways, in your yellow book, if you look in there in any region, you'll find the projects, the cost, the money, when they are to begin, when they're to be completed, and, you know, in a priority number. And, Representative Rudd, came to me with a problem, and, I don't know that it's a problem, but the money is all, and I asked her to check and be sure that the money wasn't already in the budget. It is in the budget plan. The only thing that she has is a problem with the priority, the completion date, and I'll read you the letter that says, one of the components of the capital budget for DOTPF is the Safer Off System program, primarily federally funded and established for the purpose of road maintenance. Included in this program is $408,000 to rebuild and pave the 1 mile Johns Road in Anchorage. The project has been put off for 3 years, and although the funds will be available, DOT does not plan to begin work until the summer of 1979. I request a statement of intent that the project be done during the 1978 construction period. Mr. Holden did tell us, the committee, that we do have the right and privilege to change the priorities if we so desire. In this case, I'm simply relaying a request to Representative Rudd.
We should be able to. Did DOT say that they would respond to an intent statement in that respect, or we have to build that right into the bill?
They, as I understood it, and the rest of the members were here, those that were here when they gave us the explanation, it has, it's, maybe Ernie could explain it better. They have, they come up with a new system where they, what do they call the system where they go to the municipalities, like in Anchorage's case, it's called AMATS, and I guess in Juneau it'd be JMATS and so forth. The municipalities present the department with a list of projects in their area that they recommend, which, as I understood him, was some kind of a requirement from the federal government that they get, have some input from the municipalities under the system. And with this list, then the department itself sets down and makes the priorities. And the question was asked specifically if we had the right to, and what the ramifications would be if we change the priorities. And he says that's our prerogative, not privilege. We want to change the priorities. As to just how the mechanics of it were, I, Mr. Holden could explain it. I don't really know.
Well, all right, let's what page is that?
I see Hankins is which district, south?
Central.
South central?
Well, they have a funny thing in the highway department, they call that central.
Yeah.
Or west, no, they call it central.
Okay, what was?
Yeah, central region.
They have south central region, western region.
No, it's south central, no, wait a minute.
It's central region.
It's central region.
It's central.
Central region, let's see, Fort Yukon, no, that's the issue,
Fort Yukon is mine.
Central region.
That's interior.
Well, west, is it western? But they have a.
Central region is Naknek and Bristol Bay and that area. They have five regions now.
Yeah, it's a good highway to just be, Hankins back to, that's central region.
Somewhere I have a map that shows the damn region, but I'm trying to dig it out.
Well, that Glen Highway's Peter's pick is worth for 200,000. South Central.
South Central, it takes right in the Cordova, Valdez, part of the Reds District.
Where's Central Division, yeah.
Central Division?
Part of it, yeah. It goes all the way to.
Central Region.
South Central is Anchorage. Anchorage is in South Central.
What's the answer?
It has to do with the antenna on this.
You have enough questions? You need answers.
I notice in the book here the safer off system has 2,273,000 in general and 1,600,000. Holy God, no. 16,675.5. $41 million.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter.
Whatever
the safer off.
Oh, well, that thing would be in the.
How much was it?
The stuff in the bond.
Well, they already have it in here. They already have it in here. And this project, and as I told you earlier, everything in here is in House Bill 711, which is $6 million bond issue. So
maybe that's a place of grants in that old town. Maybe we should get Hogan.
Could we just leave that one open until we?
I'd like to address the upgrading of Fairview Loop in Baton Rouge Valley. However, Mr. Osi told me that he didn't want to pave it, but rather to just upgrade the road. And this fiscal note that's contained with House Bill 679 has the cost of paving it. I expect, is Mr. Osi in town, or is he? He's gone.
He's hiding in the call. I mean, he's got the call. He's excused from the call, but he's hiding in town.
I've seen him the last couple.
I think he left.
Finally?
Saturday night.
Well, he's in town all last week.
I offered to haul him to the airport.
Where'd he go?
Is he on a run drunk or something?
He's excused until the 22nd, is it?
If I remember, Mr. Chairman, the price tag on 679 is $1.5 million.
It is, but it's the cost of paving. And it was my understanding that he didn't want it paved, he just wanted it, in other words, wanted them to cut through there with some scrapers and motor graders, and so that the cost might be considerably less than that, but I don't, he isn't here.
Is that project listed on our?
No, it's in House Bill 679, which is in this committee. What it is.
Divided up into a half a number of projects for somebody.
Okay, what I'd like to do is to move, pending some checking with him, for upgrading of Fairview Loop, upgrading Fairview Loop Road. Move figure of 400,000.
How long is the road, Mr. Chairman?
So. Didn't say it here, and they told me I went there and looked at it. Had to ride and go up and down the road. Well, we don't even have to put that. I just don't want it to fall out. I want to stick something in there when we go to the Senate. Why don't we just hold off on that? And I'll check with you too.
Oh, jeez.
I will draw it.
Was that a violent no text?
Your reaction went clear to the end of the table.
That woke me up anyway.
Okay, are there other matters to be addressed in this budget?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
On page 33 is transportation budget. 172, town of Garrettsville. Speaker had correspondence on that. The Senate put it in there.
Okay, would it be your motion?
I move it. The House to, yes, and has to send $100,000 to town of Garrettsville. He has information on that.
Okay, is there objection to voting? Not motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, question before. Did we vote on that already?
No.
Is that the same as the one we put in last year that couldn't find it?
No, that was Calamansky.
Calamansky.
Oh, that one didn't operate.
I know where Calamansky.
Operated.
Mr. Guy.
Yes, Chairman, obviously, I have a motion which is for the committee on the Bethel Riverbank erosion, that $1 million motion. I give Mr. Hoffman, city manager, Evan Carr, and he says that number one, congressional senate has $1 million figure for that purpose, but if it goes through the congressional route, it's going to take 2 years, unless that erosion problem in Bethel is considered to be in a state of emergency, then the funding would not be forthcoming till then. And in the meantime, all this properties and all that would be washed away.
Well, Phil, I played a call on that one too. My understanding was as soon as a drop of gravel, a square inch of gravel falls in the river, they're going to call it an emergency and come running in with the money. But I would I'd suggest this, that every time we put the Bethel erosion funds in the capital budget, it's been vetoed.
Well, I would like for him to do it this year.
Well, let me say that we have got a bond issue coming out, which is important, and he can't veto the bond issue. Now, depending on whether you know, I asked George about this, and depending on whether the purpose is to embarrass the governor or to get the project. I think we ought to get the project.
I think we ought to. And also, you recall I told the committee that the project would begin from that dock facility, which is now complete.
Yeah.
And that's apparently what the Corps of Engineers think would be a proper procedure to follow.
Well, my understanding is that the Corps is going to go up there on, is going to do its work up there by the bluff where the Standard Oil tanks are in the public health hospital. But we're talking about the other end.
Yeah, right. This part.
Which is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Well, I suggest that we move it into the bond issue if you want the project, because the government's going to blow it away if we put it in here, because we've done it every other time we put it in. We had $500,000 in 1970.
That was last year.
Last year.
And the year before it was $1 million. You still beat it. I'd like to try $1 million through this capital project. Budget.
Well,
if he does, it's good for him.
Well,
he's been doing
that
for too long.
The town. That's the problem. The town's blown away.
where's that bond bill?
It's here. We're going to take it up the bond bill, because as soon as we do, the Senate's going to adjourn.
Okay.
It takes up any of our legislation.
That would be about a year and a half, then, if that's providing the bill passes.
Okay, how about this, Phil? How would it be if we move half and half? So
exactly what I was going to
start
suggest.
That's what we've done every other time.
Yeah, okay.
But I think we're going to lose the 500 grand.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest anyhow. Half and half. Half for the bond and half for this.
Okay.
Matt? I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in natural resources, I read the letter from Mike Miller, Chairman of Backpass funding. I had a question at that time whether it should be there or transportation, or what we're going to do with it.
Bike trails,
right.
Would that come under trails and what do they call it?
Footpaths and trails.
Well, I brought up in natural resources.
No, there's two different
local service roads and trails.
No, that's not local service roads.
Mr. Chairman, have we come to a consensus on the Bethel Road?
Well, I was looking back, and I was going to suggest that we put it into those harbor projects. Where the original motion was made.
That was the original motion was made in development.
In the community and regional affairs.
Yeah, right.
Page 29 in the short form. All right. Is there objection then to the addition to 500,000 Bethel erosion project would be on page 29 under community regional affairs? Okay, there's no objection, that will be added there. That is a river's eating away the town and beds and the state and figure out who's supposed to pay for it. In the meantime, the town floats away.
Maybe I brought this up all wrong. I know it belongs to Natural Resources Division of Parks. It's a bike path. I know that's where it belongs. More the statute is placed in anyway. But
okay.
I was thinking we deferred it because something in transportation too. What was that question? It seems like we were wondering what was in Department of Transportation and Bike Path.
Mr. Chairman, Jim, did he ever find out about that percentage of the federal highway appropriation? That's the law, isn't it?
It is, but it has to be appropriated, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yes, the law, we have to appropriate a general fund.
I see.
It's, the law is that not less than 3/8 of 1% nor more than 1% of the total yearly state and federal matching highway fund.
All right.
Well, I wanted to bring it up again, might ask me about it.
Okay. All right, this was on page, mine's chopped off, I can't tell, 19, I think. Okay, I've moved that 200,000 that's contained in the governor's and the senate budget on that bike path, so, is that what we're doing?
Well, Mike had requested more than that.
That's what the problem was.
Mike had.
Well, isn't there 200,000 for Anchorage somewhere in there?
Yeah, except that's for Anchorage, see, this is a statewide program.
Did we put the Anchorage ones in there too?
That's in DOT, let me see, we didn't accept that one.
All right. Moose.
We didn't approve that 200,000 because it wasn't the governor's figure. No one moved it.
Was that a senate figure?
Yeah. Anyway. I don't make a big deal out of it, but, you know, I want to bring it back up again, but Mike requested 500 there for bike trip.
We're gonna do the ones in Anchorage separately, you know, I think that we ought to either do them all at once or put the 200 here and 200 in. I think 400,000 bucks is an awful lot of bike trip. I mean, it's not like, these things accumulate, you know, there's a hell of a lot of them already, it's not like we have to.
Anyway.
What do you want to do, Clark? You want to put them in there together or split them out?
Well, the inference would be the other 200, whatever were budding. That was Mike's.
Yeah, well, no, Mike is saying it should be 500,000. Can I move 300,000 in the natural resources budget instead of 200? And then with the 200,000 in Anchorage, I'll give you 500,000.
We haven't moved the 200,000 yet.
Well, assuming that you might do that, I don't know.
I want to move.
It's okay.
I want to add to that for bike trail from Delta to Fort Greeley.
See, I don't have any problem with the bridge request either, but that's the problem. If the program is not supposed to be earmarked by the legislature, the program is supposed to be for a statewide program where the need is.
Yes, but when you go down the list, of priorities in those requests, you just read that, you'll see that where it's going to go. And unless we earmark some of these projects.
Do you have the list, Rich?
Yeah, I got it somewhere. I read it just the other day on this thing.
We can make a ruling that we will not go over 400,000 total or 500,000 total or whatever it is people want to do, and we can split them out ourselves if you want.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Excuse me. There's two programs. Now there's the local service roads and trails program.
Yeah.
Which there is money in the budget already for that. They had the money.
This isn't bike trail.
No.
It's not
now the other bike. Bill is the one that you're talking about now, which has a matching funds or is delegated to a percentage of the money that we get from Washington, D.C. It's supposed to, it has to go into bike paths.
The statute says it does.
But the local service roads and trails money, comes out of our general fund.
But that's entirely different. That's not
that's
bike.
That's a total different program. And the reason that I brought, Mr. Chairman, the reason that I brought this up is because the trail is between Delta and Fort Greeley, and I think, talking to the commanding officer there, I think that if I get $125,000, I think that they'll put some matching equipment in the thing so we can get the full 5 miles from, that was the reason for that.
What's it cost a mile to build a bike trail?
$60,000, $54,000 was, $54,000 per mile.
You're kidding.
Jesus Christ, the loggers build roads for $60,000 a mile that carry 100-ton loads.
I agree with you that I wouldn't mind being a contractor for Bill Bicycle Trails. But that's exactly what it's cost, and that's what it's cost for every, in fact, some of our trails in Fairbanks cost more than that. $54,000 a mile. That's for upgrading, compaction, and paving. And the bridges and culverts and everything that have to go into them. That's the average cost per mile is $54,000 a mile.
Where they build them across swamps?
Well, sometimes.
Most of it, huh?
Well, not necessarily. Just drive out the road and you can see.
Well, I don't bicycle, but I'm just doing.
I'm not sure that the bicycle.
I want to bank in that $125,000 from Delta to Total.
All right. Wait a minute.
Get this ordered.
All right, I'll move the sum of $500,000 for bike trails, period.
Question.
Does that include mopeds?
That includes anybody.
I'm not sure that the bikes are here to stay.
Well, the bike paths are.
Well, I mean, they might want to use them for something else.
Cross-country skiing.
Mopeds?
Cross-country skiing.
Mopeds? People are not going to pedal if they can ride without it. Just human nature's lazy.
Is this one all done now, the 500,000?
Well, that's just suggestion.
Yes, unanimous consent, Mr. Chair.
I ask unanimous consent that that's the way we dispose of the bike trail question. Well, that doesn't mean 500 plus 50 plus 35 plus 200 plus, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
That's under this matching fund from federal government.
You don't get matching.
Now, how about the local service rates roads?
Don't have anything to do with local service.
Pardon?
Doesn't have anything to do with local service.
Okay, well, let me go back to transportation. Local service roads and trails is under transportation.